Gracious God, may these words be faithful to the written word and lead us to your living word. Amen.
Amen.
Good morning.
Good morning.
I have had the opportunity in the last couple of years to see my father and my stepfather through the time of their retirement from their working lives. I know many of you have been through that transition in your lives, and it can be incredibly complicated. Some of you I have seen sort of kick up your heels, do a jig of glee, twirl a few times, and race off into the sunset, thrilled to be free of your work lives, ready to move into retirement, more time with your hobbies and your friends and your families. But I have to say that I have really only seen a couple of people who approach retirement with just sheer joy and excitement. It is such a strange transition for many of you, and for my father and my stepfather. They had worked since they were in their early teens. So the vast majority of their life, 70, 60 years of their lives, their identities have come partly by who they were in their professional capacities. My father started working in the family business, the construction business, when he was very, very little, going around to different job sites with my grandfather, working throughout high school. There's all sorts of wonderful family stories of various priests that were in training with my uncle who would come and have a summer working on a job site, and all of the abuse that the construction workers heaped on these theology students who couldn't swing a hammer. So there's a lot of lore in the family about my dad growing up in the construction business, which he then went into permanently and had many hobbies. He sailed, he golfed, he liked to fly fish. He loved to travel, so when it was coming time for Dad to retire, I think my sister and my brothers and I thought that this would be a fairly smooth process, that he was tired of the rigors of construction, which I know many of you are familiar with, and was ready to move on with his life. But he, unfortunately, did not experience retirement quite so easily and smoothly, and in fact had quite an identity crisis and fell into a very deep depression following the time of his retirement. He couldn't see how to structure his days or where his incredible knowledge and all that he had learned all those years might still be used. And as helpful as my sister and brothers and I tried to be, suggesting that he volunteer for Habitat or work at Home Depot to have a little income and to share all of his skills, it wasn't the same. He was used to running a big construction company, and it was never the same. And honestly, 5 years later, he still is struggling. My stepfather, on the other hand, is a retired cardiovascular thoracic surgeon. And you may have heard that surgeons can have quite a personality, and he certainly does. He is an amazing man, incredibly humble and kind and compassionate and gracious, but used to going to work and saving lives every day. So when Tito, my stepfather, started talking about retirement, we all sort of cringed and tensed a little bit, wondering what this would be like. He practices medicine in the state of New York, which has a very heavy-handed board of medicine that starts to review every case that a surgeon performs after a certain age. And my stepfather got incredibly frustrated knowing that there were people in the Board of Medicine reviewing his work who were not even surgeons, let alone thoracic surgeons, and retired early, 70. So we were really dreading his retirement because he absolutely adored being a surgeon. And it felt a little bit like he was being forced into retirement by the system where he was practicing. Once the day came for him to put down the scalpel and to move off into his retired life, Tito has never looked back. He loves practicing medicine. He doesn't really have any hobbies. And so he recreated himself. He went and got trained in wound care medicine, sort of jokingly saying, I made wounds for all of these years. It's about time I learned to heal them. and opened a wound care center in northern New York, which he was the medical director of for 10 years. And he also became a prison doctor, serving a couple of the prisons in northern New York and reconnecting with his primary care roots, and honestly becoming a little bit of a mentor to some of the young men who end up in jail for various infractions in northern New York. And he is 81 this year and still practicing medicine and happy, happy, happy as a bird. Watching both of these men go through such a sensitive time where something is presented to them called retirement, but could have been called a move or a relationship that was on rocky ground or an illness in their lives or their families, watching their response to a situation that came into their lives that was not entirely wanted has been an extraordinary gift to me. It helps me understand more deeply what Jesus means when he tells us today that we need to take up our crosses in order to be his followers. I've always struggled with that you have to lay down your life and take up your cross. It felt like it was denying something of the extraordinary blessings and goodness that God pours into our lives. Why would I put down some of the things that God has given me and blessed me with? Why is it only a life of hardship that I have to endure in order to follow Jesus? I've struggled with this for a while and blessed to have a fabulous spiritual director who holds me to account in all sorts of different ways. So thankfully, one day in spiritual direction, I was whining and complaining about some minor something in my life, I'm sure, that I did not like, that I did not want to have to deal with. And she very patiently listened for a while, and then she said, "Oh, Libby, it sounds like you're refusing the cross that has been given to you." And I sort of snarkily said, "Right. I don't want this cross." And she said, "Okay, so let's explore that, because we are so clearly told by Jesus, in order to be my disciples, my followers, you must take up your cross and follow me." She shared with me that her spiritual director, with whom I've also had the chance to work when I go on retreat, interprets this in, I think, a beautiful and creative way. All of our lives have crosses. Every single day. Every day, there's something that happens in our lives that we don't like. Maybe it's a small irritation and frustration with Labor Day traffic on Cape Cod. Maybe it's a big feeling of betrayal or hurt from a friend or a family member. Maybe it's a chronic problem that feels like a cross every day. Or maybe it's something acute that comes in a fury of a flash that you have to address immediately. She said, Marilyn was her name, she said, "Jesus is calling you to take up your life. If you spend your whole life saying, 'No, I refuse this, no, I refuse that, no, I hate this, no, I won't do that,' then your whole being is oriented to the world in negativity. But if you take up those crosses, if you accept your life, you have the opportunity to experience Jesus walking with you and carrying the cross that you would miss if you're so busy saying, 'I hate this, I don't want this, this is too hard, I don't need this, I don't deserve this,' whatever it might be." So I said to her, "Well, how exactly do you take up your cross? That sounds to me like one of those cute little Christian phrases, take up your cross and follow me. But how exactly do you do that?" Her spiritual director, Father John Govan, who is a Jesuit, was born with a brain tumor that manifested itself in his 30s and required quite an extensive brain surgery. This was almost 50 years ago, so you can imagine going through brain surgery 50 years ago. Left him paralyzed with vision compromise, gait issues, all sorts of different physical disabilities that he has absolutely flourished through in the last 50 years, truly accepting his life as it had been given to him and learning to accommodate around it. He gives the advice to all of his directees that the first thing to do when you are trying to accept the cross, accept the life that has come to you, is to rail against God with all your might. Now, this is very different from what I was doing, which is just low-grade complaining and whining and rejecting. Wailing and lamenting to God is one of the most ancient and powerful prayer practices that we learn from our Jewish brothers and sisters, and that is forgotten or unclaimed by so many contemporary Christians, especially in the Northeast, where we're all very contained and proper in how we respond to difficult situations. So the first step in accepting your life, in taking up your cross, is to tell God how much you hate it. I don't want my loved one to have died. I don't want this friend to have been cruel to me. I don't want this financial hardship. I hate whatever the situation is. Write it down, page after page after page. Go to the ocean and scream at the top of your lungs, I despise every bit of this cross. But when you do that in a prayerful way, in relationship with God, you are immediately inviting God to be part of that cross. Instead of just snarking and being bitter and snappish to friends and family or however stress and anxiety works itself out in your life, intentionally lamenting and railing against whatever the cross is actually the first step to accepting your life. And then from that place, John and Marilyn say, from that place, you can move from the mindset of I hate, I don't want, I think this is ridiculous, I don't deserve this, to asking God, this has come to me. Please accompany me. Please help me carry this cross through Good Friday, through the tomb, and into a place of new life. When we accept the cross and walk with God, focused on Jesus and his willingness to carry that cross with you, you open yourselves to the new life that is on the other side. Left to our own devices, we'll spin into a whirlpool of turmoil and anger and frustration. But turning to God and walking with God, we can recreate ourselves even while carrying the heaviest cross that you can imagine. If you listen carefully to the stories coming out of Houston and the devastation following Hurricane Tropical Storm Harvey, you'll hear this very thread. So many of the stories are filled with people who are angry and frustrated and hurt. But the amazing, hopeful ones are the people that are accepting it and moving from that place forward. Acceptance does not mean that you like it. Acceptance simply means that you're turning to God and saying, okay, this is what we have. How do we get out of this position? So I hope in this coming week, whatever the small cross is that is presented to you today or this evening, or the large cross that you may have been carrying for a long time, whatever it might be that makes you say, I don't want this, I hate this, there's no part of this that feels right to me, I hope that you will take the time to turn to God and lament that you are having to face it. But then please ask Jesus to come and to carry that cross with you, to show you the path through the pain and sorrow into new life. And I especially pray that you're given a taste of what that refreshment and what that new life might be.